Let me ask you, have you had a chance yet to clean out your closet and get your winter clothes put away and put up and get your summer clothes put away and kind of sort it and take out what you don't want and give it away and all that? It's that time of year, isn't it? Where we take the hot stuff and cold stuff and put one up and put the other one out and get ready. We're kind of doing that in here right now with our heart. I don't know if you know, we've been looking at Scripture, and this is the last Sunday we're gonna finish this series this Sunday, The Heart That Matters, The Heart of the Matter. But we've been looking at our heart, and the one verse I ask you to memorize, I said, just put it out and read it every day and just kind of focus on each word, was create in me a clean heart, right? Renew a right spirit within me. And we've been asking God, help us to create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, because our hearts sometimes get dirty. We just don't realize. It's kind of like we need to sometimes take out the winter and summer clothing, kind of sort our clothes and see what fits anymore, what doesn't fit, and get rid of those things. But in our heart, we also need to look spiritually in our heart and say, God, is there anything that, Lord, is in me that's unclean that I just need to get rid of? Because somehow this world's a dirty world, and it's a hard world, and it's a rough world. And there are times that things happen on the job or at home, and it just kind of gets inside of us. And we need to say, God, I need to get that out. I need to get that removed from me. So we looked at a few different things that can get inside of us that, if we're not careful, can do damage. We started with greed, and we said guilt. And we said guilt can get inside of us. And where does guilt come from? Guilt comes because we've done something wrong. We've done something, or we perceive we've done something wrong. Maybe it's something we feel like we've done wrong, and we know God is upset about it. It's natural to feel guilty. Or maybe we felt like we should have done this or that for our kids, or for a spouse, or for a family member, or we've done something to someone else, and we feel guilty about it. And so, what does guilt do? Guilt says, I owe God something. I owe someone else something because I've done wrong, or I perceive that I have done wrong. And we said, we've got to get rid of that. In order to get rid of that, what do we have to do? Remember, we have to ask for forgiveness. Say, God, forgive me. Or, so-and-so, would you forgive me for what I've done? That forgiveness frees us of the guilt that is inside of us. For the believer, Paul says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I don't want any guilt inside my heart, because guilt will cause me not to be in right relationship either with God or with someone else. And I want to have a clean heart. We looked at anger. And we said anger is something that can get in our hearts. And anger comes because, well, we didn't get what we wanted. Or someone we felt like did us wrong. And we said that the only way that we can get rid of that is to forgive. It's to forgive that person or forgive that situation, to let it go. Because all it's doing is creating anger, and anger ends up becoming part of our heart, and we don't even realize it. And before long, that anger will grow. And if we let it grow, then we'll become hot-headed and just not good. So if guilt says, I owe you, anger says, you owe me because you did me wrong. Then greed, we looked at last week, says, I owe me. And greed is the hardest one for a person to see. Because greed is one that we don't realize, because we hide it behind such good intentions. We hide it behind, well, I'm just being frugal, and I'm just being conservative with my money, or I'm just, you know, just watching out for me. Greed says, what is mine because I have earned it. I deserve it. It's mine. And we hold on to it tightly. Greed says, I owe me. And the way you get rid of greed is simply to be generous and let go and give. And that's how we get rid of greed. Today we're going to look at one last enemy of our heart. And these aren't an exclusive list. This may not be all of them. But these are just four that I just felt like, yeah, we probably need to look at these four. If I want to have a clean heart, I want to make sure none of these little demons are in there, because they will mess me up in my love for God and my love for people. So today we want to look at the last one, jealousy. I know you're going to think this is strange, but jealousy says, God owes me. God owes me. When you think of jealousy, you think of what others have that you don't have. Right? Maybe better looks. Maybe be a little taller. Maybe have a new car or a bigger house. Or maybe have your health, better health, or money, etc. Here's what makes jealousy so weird. When we get jealous over what someone else has, we think the issue is with them. When in reality, the issue is with not them. It goes much deeper. It goes with God. Because God could have given us a better body. He could have given us a stronger brain. He could have given us a better job. He could have given us better health. He could have given us more friends. He could have given us normal ears instead of elephant ears. Social media is a good thing in a lot of ways. It connects people. But there are some dangers of social media. And one of the dangers of social media is it is causing an epidemic to the mental health in our country. And one of the reasons why is because of all the comparisons. You can't help but go through wherever you're going through and seeing people and how they're living their lives and not be a little jealous of how they're living their life. Because everybody puts the pictures where everything is perfect. Oh, we're sitting in this beautiful cafe in Italy right across from the canal. Jeez. Oh, wow. I'd like to go to Italy. Why can't we ever go to Italy? Why haven't I ever been to Italy? Right? Or, oh, look at my new car. Why do I have to drive that old jalopy that's in the shop again? Boy, I sure would like a new car. Or, oh, look at this big fish I caught, click. You know, man, I haven't had a day off in years. I'd like to have a day off to go fishing, right? It immediately kind of is a killjoy. Because as you go through, you're seeing everybody else doing wonderful, great things. And it can cause a little bit of jealousy there. Because we compare their perfect moments in life to our regular old life. And we tend to lose our joy. We can easily become envious and jealous if we're not careful. Jealousy can quickly move into envy if it's not controlled. Have you ever known someone who seems to have more than you? I mean, they're always telling you about their big vacation. They're always telling you about their job and how much money they make, and they're always telling you about the things their kids are doing, and oh, and I hate it when it comes to those Christmas letters, don't you? They'll send out those Christmas letters, and they're going to tell you about everything that's happened great in their life in that year, right? They're going to tell you about, oh man, they went to Iceland on vacation, right? Oh, and they're going to tell you about their kids and how their kids are getting this award and that award, and they're going here and they're going there, and they're doing all this stuff. And it's easy to become jealous. And you say, oh, Pastor, I'm not jealous. Well, let me tell you, does this ever happen to you? Then you hear that their marriage is in trouble, and you get a little smile to your face. Why do you get that little smile? Because you're jealous of all they've had all that time. And you're a little envious. So when you hear a little bit of bad news, there's that little bit of smile that comes. Where does it come from? It comes from a sick heart. It comes from a heart that needs to be cleaned. It comes from a heart that is jealous and shouldn't be. It comes from a heart that may have envy there. You go through the Bible, and there are tons of people who are jealous. Cain and Abel. Anybody remember that story? Cain was jealous over Abel. And why was he so jealous over Abel? Because Abel's offering was accepted and his wasn't. And he was jealous over Abel's offering. You don't have to go too many more chapters, and then you'll see Esau and Jacob. That's weird. They're both jealous of each other. Jacob was first jealous of Esau, and Esau had the birthright. And then when Esau sold the birthright to Jacob, then Esau became jealous of Jacob. How about, anybody remember the story of Joseph? He had some brothers who were pretty well jealous of Joseph, right? Joseph had the coat of many colors that his dad gave. They were jealous of the love that his father had, their father had given to Joseph. And that jealousy destroyed their relationship until Joseph restored it. Jealousy. How about David and Saul? Saul was envious of David, wasn't he? He was very jealous of David. He was jealous of David, the fact that he went out to war and did what Saul was afraid to do, fight Goliath. He was jealous of David because David seemed like he always won his battles. And he didn't. He was jealous and envious. One thing you find, though, if you dig deep, their issue isn't with the person they're jealous with. Cain's issue was really not with Abel. His issue was really with God. Saul's issue really wasn't with David. His issue really was with God, wasn't it? Because the deeper you dig into their lives, they felt like God owed them something. The issue was really with their God. And this is so important for you to realize. It's the main point this morning. You got to get it. There's nothing that person can do to change your situation. There was nothing that Abel could do to help Cain. There was nothing that David could do to help Saul. The only one who could help was for them to encounter God. Your friend can't make you skinny. Just sorry, they can't. Your friend can't buy you a nice house. Your friend can't make you smarter, have the right job, or the right spouse. Who is the only one who can change your situation? God. That's the one reason why I say your problem when it comes to jealousy, we all have it from time to time, is not with that person. It is with God. And you'll never, ever, ever get rid of the problem until you get alone with God. Until you get alone with God and deal with the heart, the problem won't get solved. Let's get some good advice from James. I remember one time Kathleen told me that was her favorite book in the Bible because he tells it like it is. Well, he tells it like it is right here in James chapter 4. Take a moment to look at it. And before I do, let me just kind of give you the background. You remember that James' brother was who? Jesus, right? He grew up being one of Jesus' little brothers. Wonder what that must have been like. Can you imagine? You go to school and you get a little ornery, you do something you shouldn't have done, or you're not answering every question correctly, because I doubt Jesus ever missed a question in synagogue school. I bet he made perfect A's on every paper he turned in, everything he said and quoted back. I'm sure Jesus had it always right. And you go to synagogue school and you're following Jesus and your teacher goes, oh, can't you be more like Jesus? I mean, my brothers had to follow me. They always heard, can't you be more like Lee? No, not really. They probably never heard that. But you know what I mean, right? If you're the younger child, you probably get told a lot, you know? Can't you be more like so-and-so? And because every time they gather for a family meal, who do you think Mary's going to ask to pray? You got Jesus right there. Who are you going to ask to pray over the meal? Well, naturally, I'm sure Jesus prayed over every family meal, don't you think? And you're sitting there going, man, Mama, I want to turn. Well, you know, Jesus, he's really got a relationship with God. We need to let him do it this time, right? I mean, you know what? And then when you pull out the scrolls at night and you say, okay, who's going to read the devotion tonight? Well, Jesus is, right? I just know how boys are. Like, I can see it even my grandchildren. One's four, one's one. When Henry's got a toy and he's playing, the oldest got a toy and playing with it, the little one, he's looking about, how am I going to get that toy? You can see it in his eyes. He starts crawling over to where he is. He starts getting close, and Henry goes, Hudson, this is mine! He pulls it back over here, right? And Hudson scoots over a little bit further. And it isn't long before Hudson reaches out his hand to grab it. And Henry hits him back this way. And then Hudson reaches up and grabs his hair and pulls him down. And we got World War III going on. Right? Boys are like that. We always want what the other one has. And I can just see that James probably grew up pretty well jealous of Jesus. You do realize it wasn't until after Jesus rose from the grave that James became a follower. Before that, James thought that Jesus was just being a show-off. But there was something about watching his brother die on the cross and then coming back to life and seeing him again that he said, oh, you're more than my brother. You're my Savior. And he surrendered his life to Christ and became a follower. So if anybody knows how to deal with jealousy, James knows a lot about it. So he's not speaking for someone without experience in this issue. Look at verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? James tells us in this passage where all the fighting, where all the arguing, where all the wanting what someone else has, where does it all come from? He tells us in this phrase, look at the last two words, within you. If you're to take something out of this passage, you ought to take out within you. Because that's where it comes from. There's a spiritual battle going on within us. There's a war that's taking place. And the reason why I'm upset, the reason why I want what someone else has is because there's a war going on inside of me. I'm jealous. That kind of creates this war. And then if I bump into them, if I'm not careful, it will explode all out everywhere. All that inside of me yuck comes out. Verse 1 again. What's causing the quarrels and fighting among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Oh man, verse 2 is strong too. You want what you don't have. You scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want. Very important, because you don't ask God for it. James is real clear here. He's saying, there's something I want and someone else has it. And I really want it bad, but I can't get a hold of it. It sounds like two kids in the back seat of a car. You have one toy in that car. The first one gets in the car first, he grabs that toy. The second one's going to be fighting, wanting that toy, say, no, it's mine. The other one's going to say, I had it first. No, I have it first. And when they fight, I know we think it's just children, but we're not much different. Come sit with me in a marriage counseling someday. It's like listening to two kids sitting in the back seat of a car fighting over a toy. They're fighting over $200 of extra money they have. Oh, it's mine. Oh, I had it first. James is saying we're not much different than kids. We see something we want, we can't get it, and before long, we're trying to get it at all costs. And that's where jealousy eventually leads. But what I would pull out of that scripture is the last few words. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You don't ask God for it. Jesus says we're not getting what we want because we're asking the wrong person. We're arguing with a person we're jealous of that can't do anything about the situation. We need to take it to God. He's our Father. He's our provider. He's our source. Again, there's nothing they can do, but God can. Peter puts it very well when he says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. This means you can bring it all to God. You can bring all your frustrations, your tears, and your fears before God. You can come to God and say, God, I don't get it. What's wrong? Why can't I have such and such? Be direct with God. Because if it's important to you, I'm telling you it's important to God. Because you're important to God. So take it to God. And weep and call out to God about your situation. And you'll discover he cares about you. There's a story in the Bible about a situation of people who are jealous. Stories of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. You remember that story? Sarah was initially jealous over Hagar because Hagar had a child and gave forth the child to Abraham, and she couldn't have children, and so she was jealous about Hagar, and so she kept harassing Hagar, kept treating her poorly. And then Hagar was jealous over Sarah. Why was she jealous over Sarah? Because Abraham loved Sarah. He didn't love her. He just needed a child from her. And so Abraham never stood up for her, never took care of her properly. And she's jealous over what the attention that Sarah's getting. It got so bad that Hagar took off and left. You remember? Took off and left. She's out in the desert. She's struggling. She hasn't had the child yet, but she's pregnant. And she's struggling. And while she's struggling, she comes to a place where she stops. And there the angel of the Lord comes. And she pours out her heart to the angel of the Lord. Tells the angel of the Lord everything that is going on in her life. And the angel of the Lord then responds and tells Hagar, Hagar, God will take care of you. God's going to give you a large family. Go back to Abraham and you'll be provided for. It's there that she calls God the God who sees. Because God saw her. She took her need to God. Get alone with God. Take what you feel is unfair, that you don't have, that you think you must have, and tell God. Tell God how unfair it is that the ungodly have it and you don't have it. Tell God how he should provide for you better. Tell God how he should give you more opportunities. Tell God that, well, you deserve more. Go ahead. Look up towards God and tell him that you are not getting a fair shake. And if you really think God has mistreated you, go ahead and speak it out loud. Why? Because then you'll be on the verge of your breakthrough. From your jealousy and the pain inside of you. Because the reality is, none of that's true. None of that's true. None of that's real. Because God is taking care of you, whether you realize it or not. God has been more than fair to each one of us. If you don't believe me, go back to the cross, where he surrendered his life for us, where he took the wrath of God that should have been poured out on us. He took it on him. He stretched out his hands and he died for us. We experience salvation because of what he did for us. We're in great trouble, yet God made a way. And none of us deserve what God has done for us and the love that he has demonstrated for us. In fact, one day, every wrong will be made right. You're headed to be with him forever and ever. That's enough. But the next time you're tempted to play the comparison game and feel that God hasn't been good to you, just look around the world. Be thankful you're not a Haitian today in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, where finding food today is life or death. Where finding water today is life or death. Where finding clothes is scarce. Finding shelter, a place to stay. I had a friend that grew up in the Philippines. His house was literally a cardboard box growing up. The only way he got out of the Philippines was he was fortunate enough to be chosen to get on a Carnival cruise to work. And they only take so many people from the Philippines each year for their, and he got chosen. And from that, he was able to come to the United States. But can you imagine if your home was only a cardboard box? Be thankful today you're not in Cairo, Egypt. If you're in Cairo, Egypt, and you're a believer, you probably live in the trash city, in the dump. Be thankful today that you're not in Afghanistan, Syria, or Iran, where heavy persecution is taking place against Christians. Now tell God he hasn't done enough for you. Tell God that you really need X, Y, and Z because somebody else has X, Y, and Z. You see, when you get alone with God and you get a glimpse of God, you realize he loves me more than I ever realized and that he will provide what I have need of, that I can trust him. We owe God everything. And many times we owe an apology too. Now let's read verse 3 because it's really powerful. Verse 3, even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want it only what will give you pleasure. I know that's not what anybody wants to hear. That's because most of us want what we want because of selfish reasons. We're Americans. We're born with all of us with a silver spoon in our mouth, whether we realize it or not. When you give it to God, he has this amazing way Because I'm not saying don't take your knees to God. Hear me. But he has a way of separating what is our desires from what we really have need of. Some of my needs are just my desires, where I want God to be my Santa Claus. But some of my needs are real desires, and those I can call upon the Lord for. But taking it to God helps separate what is just something I'm jealous about and something that I really have a need. For Jesus said, we're to take our daily bread and ask him for it, right? In the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong with taking our need before God, but if we won't just because we want to be like everybody else, then there's a problem. And the only way you find out is how. Again, get alone with God. Because God will remind you that he is the source of all good things in your life. God will remind you that he is your good shepherd. He will remind you of Psalms 23, that he will take you and lead you to green pastures. That he will take care of you and walk you through any valley that you're in. That God will take care of our needs and bless us. That we can trust God to bless us at the right time, at the right season. In James 1:17, James wrote these words before he wrote chapter 4. He wrote, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. We can change them. We can trust him. We can trust him because he's got us. He takes care of us. He has us. So how can I defeat this jealousy when I find it in my heart? What can I do to see that jealousy defeated? Yeah, number one, get alone with God. We've talked about that. One of the ways you can apply this is this. When you see jealousy rise up within you, attack it by going to the person you're jealous of and congratulating them for what they have or what they have done or what you're jealous about. John, man, I am so glad you got the team lead at work. Man, I'm just going to be praying for you. I'm here to support you. Anything you need, buddy, I got you back. Man, I'm proud of you. Glad you got it. You're killing jealousy. You say, but Pastor, I wouldn't really mean it. That's okay. Do it anyway. It's like giving. Sometimes I know some of you don't really mean it, but you give anyway. Right? Is that faith giving? Is that faith talking? It's going out to them in faith and saying, you know, I don't like John. I can't believe he got this. He doesn't deserve it. I should have gotten this. This was mine. It had my name all over it, and he got it. No. Stop that. Say, God, you will provide. You will take care of me. I've gotten along with you. I've given this to you. God, I'm going to trust you with it. Now I'm going to go congratulate John. Or you see someone who, this Thanksgiving, because I guarantee you got somebody in your family who's made it big, and they like to tell you, you know, how much money they have or what they did. When they see them, say, oh, man, that's great. I'm so happy for you. I'm glad things are going well for you. You know, it's that little jealousy bug rising up. Go ahead and talk to God and get along with God before Thanksgiving, before Christmas, before you see them. Get it out of your spirit, because you want to have a clean heart. You want to be able to love whoever God brings in your path, and you want to be able to love God and God to move through you. So to kill that jealousy bug, get along with God, and then go to them when they start bragging or talking and say, man, I'm proud. I'm happy for you. Man, that's just great. That's awesome. So glad God is blessing you. Yeah, I know it's not easy, but rejoicing with others will kill jealousy over time. It will kill it. You can put those demons in their place. Whether it's anger, guilt, greed, or jealousy. and you can love God and love others much better. And from time to time, we need to check our heart, because we're coming back to the main point of the series. God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. How long am I going to live with a dirty heart? Remember, I said we need to take out our calendars on our phone and write down the date. How long am I going to put up with this? How long is this going to control me? How long am I going to allow it? Next week, a year? I mean, how long am I going to stay in my pity parties? How long am I going to let it just continue to attach to my heart? Isn't it time to let go, to forgive, to love? So that, God, I can have a clean heart before you. Let's close in prayer.